Hello and welcome to Ghost Beans! I hope it's not picking up the fucking dog barking. A horror podcast. I'm Todd, joined by my wife Becca. Hi, Becca.
Hi.
So I'll say right out the gate, there are a lot of words I'm about to say that are very difficult for my little white boy voice. So I'm going to do the best I can. We watched Noroi the Curse. This came out in 2005 and it was directed by Koji Shiraishi. And it looks like he's directed a ton of horror movies, but I did see there's one called Hell Girl, and he also directed Sadako versus Kayako. Have you heard of that? It's the Ring Girl versus the Grudge Girl. Okay. So it's like their version of Freddy versus Jason, I guess. I remember hearing about that because it sounded really fucking silly. But this one's, it's kind of interesting because I'd only really heard about it recently, and it's a movie that's like super well regarded by a lot of people, I guess, especially by a lot of Japanese horror fans, which I wouldn't say I'm not a Japanese horror fan, but I'm maybe not like, I haven't seen a lot of them. You know, we did watch Pulse recently for the first time. I think most people are more familiar with like The Ring and The Grudge and the ones that like got American remakes. Outside of that, not super well versed. And yeah, this one is, I guess, if we're just not going to talk spoilers, I don't think it worked for me as well as it did, because there are people who fucking love this movie. Like, that, there was a disconnect there that was kind of something I had to deal with. How did you feel about the movie overall?
I liked it. I don't think, you know, it's not like my most favorite movie.
It's not your most favorite?
No. Yeah. But I mean, it was good.
Yeah, yeah. I think the movie does a lot of interesting stuff. I think what makes it harder for me is I'm already not a big fan of like ghosts and possession stuff. And that's like, that is all this movie is. So I'm already like at a disadvantage going into it. But I think what it does that's the most interesting is it's this weird kind of mishmash of like different, it has like all these Japanese like TV segments. It almost feels this kind of Late Night with the Devil style thing, where it's like different variety shows and news segments, and it's weird how it combines all this different media. And I think that's like the best part of the whole movie, honestly. And I think my biggest complaint is that doesn't really carry through to the end. It feels like it's very front loaded with that stuff. Mm-hmm. And then it just becomes more like, I don't know, because I mean it revolves around this character who I guess is some kind of TV presenter who investigates paranormal, like ghost stuff. And it's him looking into this specific case. And yeah, it sets it up with these different shows with like it introduces that little girl character who's like a psychic. And it's her in a room of other like quote unquote psychics. And you have the people in the corner like, oh, like reacting to them, drawing stuff and everything. All that stuff is like, it's just so well executed. It feels like a real, like we're watching a real Japanese TV show, you know? So that stuff is super cool. I don't know. And it's just, yeah, it's like I said, it's hard for me because like ghost stuff just doesn't. I'm not scared of ghosts, man. Like, I'm just not, you know what I mean? And like watching people get possessed and writhe around and stuff, like it just doesn't, I don't know. I know that really works for some people. Like there's some people who are really like, possession movies are the scariest shit out there, but it doesn't really do it for me, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I like ghost stuff, obviously. Yeah.
We are called Ghost Beast. That's definitely something that doesn't make sense. But yeah, it is cool because it winds up being this kind of mystery. You know, the whole thing is it's this investigation, and that's kind of what carries the movie along. So yeah, I think I wasn't expecting it to be as like found footage as it is, because it's definitely has that feel. It's like I said, it's almost like mixed media, like, you know, all these different styles of TV show all cobbled together, which is really cool. Like, it's definitely, that is the best part of it. But it's also, I mean, it's very long, and there are times when it kind of drags a bit. Like the pacing is maybe,
Well, it does sort of like over-explain itself in some points too.
Yeah, I think that's, I don't want to speak too out of turn, because like I said, I'm not like super well-versed on Japanese horror, but the stuff I've seen does feel sometimes like there are pacing issues, there are issues with it really over-explaining things, and maybe it it could benefit from having a little editing done, you know? And this definitely to me, it suffers from that a bit. But it's like I said, this movie is like so well regarded that it almost feels like I need to tiptoe. Like, I don't want to, like, it's like I'm stepping on something that people really fucking love and care about. But I still think, like, it's such a unique and interesting thing that I'm still really glad that I saw it.
Oh, yeah.
Also, maybe not very scary, but again, what is a ghost going to do to me? I don't give a fuck about a ghost. Like, come on. There are some, like, creepy parts with, like, stuff in the background, you know, like, little kids and stuff. They love their little kid ghosts over there. That stuff was pretty cool, pretty creepy, but I don't know. I mean, overall, like, how do you feel?
I mean, I liked it. I would watch it again.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so I'll talk about it more in spoilers, but I do think some of the set design was really cool.
Yeah.
There were some cool approaches to, like, cursed objects and cursed lands.
I think it is worth checking out just because of, like I said, the like, way it kind of flips between these different programs, like these different kind of Japanese TV shows. I think that's, like, definitely the strongest thing about it that's, like, really cool. I just wish they did more of that throughout the whole movie, you know? Mm-hmm. And the mystery is fun. It's, like, it really does feel like you're on this investigation, you know, pursuing all these clues and stuff all the way to the end. And it does have, like, a big finale, you know, which we'll get into. Spoilers.
Is that what we're doing now?
Yes.
Okay.
So it does feel... Need a drink?
I didn't
want to interrupt
you.
It's okay. So there were times when, like, there was just so much going on, like, back and forth that it was a little hard to untangle, much like the worms, which what was that about?
I don't know. I thought that was silly.
It's, yeah. Like, all the weird, like, strings of yarn and shit that they... I was, like, waiting for there to be a moment when there's just, like, worms everywhere or something.
Yeah, that I never was came. Waiting for that, too.
Still not really sure what that was all about. But I guess, like, yeah, I think it seemed to be building up to almost being, like, the Japanese version of The Omen. Because that little boy character is, like... I don't know what the deal is if he's, like, this manifestation of some devil or something. Because... It seemed like he was behind everything the whole time.
I cannot picture that at all.
Is that the little boy? I mean, he shows up, like, in the very beginning, remember, in the window? They're investigating that woman.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and then they wind up at the end. Because that's the thing. Like, the movie, it does get kind of slow because as they're investigating, there's just stuff where it's like, oh, check out. There's this apartment with all these pigeons outside.
Yeah.
And, like, a dude comes out and just eat your food. But a dude just, like, pops out and grabs a pigeon. And it's like, done. Like, slows down for it. It's like, there's a lot of stuff like that where it's like, okay, like, I'm along for the ride trying to figure out exactly what we're leading up to, you know?
Yeah, they use that slow zoom in, like, a lot. And it became, kind of funny.
Well, that does feel very much like early 2000s television, for sure. But I think that's part of the problem for me is for a lot of the movie, it's, like, mysterious little shreds of details like that. And the whole time, like, okay, what are we getting to? Like, what is this leading up to? And it takes a long time for that to actually amount to anything. Because then, yeah, at the end, it's like, it's kind of all at once. Because they go to that that village and there's like a billion fucking dead dogs, which is like, what the fuck?
Hated
like,
that.
It's like, yeah, does the dog die? Yes.
Yeah.
About 200 of them die.
Yeah,
yes.
It's really sad.
That was a little crazy.
Yeah. And it's a little graphic, depending on how sensitive you are to seeing that.
Heads up on that.
Yeah. I did want to look into that to see. All right, what did we do here to get this shot? I just, like, wanted to, like, reassure myself. I need to do that.
And, yeah, it was even, like, maybe this is part of, like, the problem with watching it 20 years later, because I think the big money shot is when it's, like, the CGI lady covered in the baby ghosts or whatever, and that, like, it just felt kind of silly. But I think it's because maybe the effects didn't age the best, you know?
Yeah. I think you just shocked my brain that 2005 was 20 years ago.
Yep. Got to always keep reminding ourselves of that. I think someone recently online called The Descent a classic movie. And I was like, the fuck are you talking about? And I was like, oh, yeah, that was like a 2005 movie. So it's like 19 years ago. But anyway, yeah, that just maybe that would have freaked me out a lot more back then, which is it's tough because not every movie is going to be able to hold up over time. You know, I think a lot of people hold on to how things affected them when they first saw something when they're younger. I know there are definitely movies I saw from like the 80s and 90s that fucked me up that if I saw them now, it would just be like, oh, like, I guess we kind of moved past that a bit.
Yeah, I'm almost certain, like, The Ring, I think I saw by myself when I was 13.
Oh, yeah.
That fucked me up. Scared the shit out of me. But if I watch it now, obviously.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to go back because I don't know if it would really hit as hard. Yeah. But, yeah, and then, like, there's, like, this big crazy finale with them. Because they were searching for this little girl, the little psychic girl the whole time. And when they find her, she's just dead. Just dead little girl. Like, there was a lot of stuff like that. Like, the dead dogs and the dead little girl where it's like, okay, they really went there, though, I guess.
Yeah, I think there was a part of my brain that was, like, holding out, thinking, oh, she's not dead. She's, like, sleeping. She's fine. But, no. Yeah. She's dead.
I've also noticed a lot of Japanese horror seems to really be fucked up about, like, people hanging themselves.
Oh, yeah.
And I wonder, this is me totally talking out of my ass, but I know there is like a weird culture of suicide in Japan.
No, you're not really talking out of your ass. Okay. I think that is like an unfortunate, I don't know, pattern happening just in real life in Japan. I think that there is a huge problem with suicide in Japanese culture.
So I think that's something where it's like maybe, like sometimes it can be interesting to kind of look through a window at another culture's idea of horror and what scares them. And it's like maybe it doesn't work as well for you if you're outside of that culture, but it's still like just really fascinating. Because I have noticed, I mean, we talked about Pulse. Mm-hmm. That's another movie that like completely revolves around suicide. And then in this, they use that for shock effect, like the lady who hung herself and stuff. So that's like... I guess you kind of have to look at that intellectually as like, you know, that's an interesting reflection of their society, I guess.
Yeah, there's that. And then I also feel like, you know, if you've ever been to the point of suicide, I feel like you understand, you know, how deeply it affects someone.
Of course.
Yeah. I think personally, I think I might have liked this movie a little bit more than you.
Yeah.
Just hearing your comments, but I don't know. I also am a fan of like ghost stories and stuff like that, especially, you know, seeing The Ring so young, it like propelled me into those type of stories.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to act like I didn't like the movie. I think it's more that I liked it more intellectually than, you know, like it didn't scare me or anything. And I felt like I was kind of, it's like I said, it felt like I was looking through a glass at this thing like, oh, this is pretty cool. This is interesting. But it wasn't really engaging me beyond that too much. But yeah, it's still fascinating. I'm still really glad we saw it.
Yeah. I think for me, I mean, now just talking about Japanese horror, like, you know, I think it might be a little silly, but The Ring was for me a gateway into Japanese horror.
Oh, I think it was for a lot of people.
Yeah, like I couldn't stop trying to find other Japanese horror films at that point. I mean, I have still to this day some Japanese horror films that like I randomly watched on some weird cable service and like I have no idea what the name is of it. It was so young and it was so long ago. So
well, I think you weren't, I think Hollywood was also like, we gotta get on this shit. Like after The Ring, they were like, all right, Sarah Michelle Gellar, get her in one of these. No. Like it was just
I skipped but I'm all just that saying shit. I wanted the actual Japanese horror.
Oh yeah. But I'm just saying, like, I think there was definitely a period of that of like that was a big rush.
There was one, wasn't there one like The Eye or something? I skipped that movie because I knew it was a American recreation of a Japanese horror.
Oh, film. You're a proper weeb. Like, no. Give me my waifus. Give me my... I want it from the source.
Yeah, exactly.
Then it's the dude who just looked like a rapper. You said, like, the psychic crazy guy.
Yeah, with his cool ass tinfoil hat. Yeah. And he literally looked like he was like out of a Japanese fashion magazine. Yeah. I think they could have made him look a little crazier, honestly, even
yeah.
today. I feel like I could see like some Gen Z kid wearing that outfit. So the outfit kind of slapped just a little too hard because it took me out of it.
Yeah, it was like, I think the creepiest part for me, then it's him like beating that kid in the head with a rock. It's like, yeah. It was really like just going there at the end. And that part was like pretty disturbing.
Yeah, I will say when he lifted up that rock, I was like, there's no way he's not actually gonna. And yeah.
But then, yeah, the whole thing is the kid gets up and is, like, covered in blood, and he's just, like, some evil entity that, like, burns the house down.
Yeah, they show him for, like, a split second with that really cool mask.
Yeah, well, I think it was, like, his head was all swollen.
Well, there was that, but then they cut back, and he's just bloody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that stuff, I think that was a pretty wild finale. But yeah, I mean, it was very interesting. I'm glad I saw it.
Mm-hmm.
And I can understand why it would work for a lot of people and be really meaningful. It's just maybe it's just not my slice of horror, we'll say.
Well, I do want to touch on back to that set design. I thought it was super effective and very cool when they enter into that village and there's those loops everywhere.
The worms.
Yeah, the worms. Yeah. Well, maybe that's what he was talking about. Maybe that's the worms.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Okay,
yeah.
I just connected that.
Yeah.
I was just so distracted by how cool that element was because they kept using it and kept showing it in so many different ways.
Mm.
I don't know. I found that visually interesting.
I feel like there's probably an era when that would have been a cool Halloween decoration.
I was already, you know? Like, in my head, I'm like, man, that's what we're doing to the house.
Nobody
this
would
year.
Fucking understand no. what that was. We're like, why are there all these, like, ropes everywhere?
Just get reported for being crazy.
Probably. But I don't know. Was there anything else you wanted to talk about?
No.
Okay, you can go to ghostbeast.com for all our links. You can search for Ghost Beast Pod and follow Ghost Beast on Letterboxd with our definitive list of everything we cover. This might be a little more divisive because it feels like our opinions are a little different. So how do you feel about putting it above Superhost but below The Deep House?
I mean, it feels kind of wrong to have it below Leviathan, if I'm being honest.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we already put Leviathan above The Deep House.
We might need to change
that. Well, that's okay. We can't start doing that or it's going to get ridiculous. But... and what do you think about above Leviathan and under Slay?
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Sounds good. That means it's at number 41 on our list. You can email us at podcast@ghostbeast.com. Let us know what your favorite Japanese horror movies are, because I think we're stuck in the normie, like, I like The Ring and The Grudge. Like, what else is out there?
You calling me a normie?
Yes. Bye.